clocks are slow. We'll get them synchronized here in time. Okay, we are now reading out of the lost books of the Bible, the forgotten books of Eden, and we're reading the letter of the epistle of Barnabas. Okay, it's on page 145. So let's turn there. And Barnabas, we're in chapter 1, okay, page 145. Okay, get your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen. Get ready to take some notes down, do some highlighting, and get ready to start. Okay, now the epistle we're reading right here was one that was circulated in the church there. As it says up here in the, as the lead in there, what you'll call that, some kind of a writing here, a certain doctrine professor there at Oxford not only believed that it was genuine, but that it was also read throughout the churches of Alexandria as the canonical scriptures were. Okay, so what we're reading right here again was accepted. Okay, in the accepted, circulated around the early church. Okay. All right, everybody should be ready. That's page 145. Okay, thank you, Don. Please be assuring us here, considering our clocks are right. Okay, Barnabas goes on here. All happiness to you, my sons and daughters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who love us in peace. Okay, of course, we know that Barnabas is addressing those who are under that stewardship. Okay, and of course, as we read on here, we're going to see that the Apostle Barnabas is going to be unfolding the mystery of Christ and some of the things even the Apostle Paul spoke of earlier. Okay, so he loved us in peace, saying that we're walking in his fear, we're being joined to his light. Okay, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. Okay, when you understand that being joined to his light, it's only because you're joined to that light that we begin to see him. Okay, you can't see him apart from that light. Okay, but the fear of man has to do with the principle of man, but the fear of God has to do with that which he severs us from that light, okay, from that source of life. Okay, in verse 2, now he's going to be giving some evidence right here, okay, which I think Maria has been speaking of here about propitiation. Okay, having perceived abundance of knowledge of the great and excellent laws of God to be in you, I exceedingly rejoice in your blessed and admirable souls, because you have so worthily received the grace which was grafted in you. Of course, it was grafted in by the elders. Now, this is the evidence of him being our advocate. Okay, the evidence is there is concerning your increase of knowledge and regeneration. So you can see his activity in these things, and this is a sign. Okay, this is a sign that you're in covenant with him. The grace which was engrafted in you. Okay, in verse 3, for which cause I am full of joy, okay, hoping to rather be saved. Okay, now, of course, your Apostle Barnabas here is talking about showing the propitiatory work of faith, okay, for us. Okay, see how how we're being joined to him, how he's assisting us and carrying us, okay, through these things. Okay, through these things, through the tools he's provided for us, he's assisting us and he's carrying us, okay, in our salvation. Okay, now the word salvation it comes from the word as to salvage. Okay, we're made anew, okay, through a process. Okay, a process, a joining. Okay. So being joined to him, which cause I am full of joy, hoping to rather to be saved. Okay, what do you mean you're not saved, Barnabas? No, it's because of this that I'm saved. Okay, the work of his salvation, okay, that which he is the advocate of, is continually salvaging my soul to bring me into his presence, okay, with exceeding joy. Okay, the hope of our inheritance is only because of this activity. Okay, the hope of our inheritance is only because of this activity. Right, inasmuch as I truly see a spirit infused in you. I like that. See the word spirit infused in you. Okay, in verse 3, you might want to highlight the word infused. Okay, see the word grafted in you in verse 2, and infused in you in verse 3. This is how he is our propitiation. Okay, this infusing has to do with an assistance. He is assisting us. He's benefiting us from his sacrifice. Okay, those of faith he benefits. And so much as I truly see a spirit infused in you from the pure fountain of God, which of course is our record, Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 4, having this persuasion and being fully convinced thereof, because that since I have begun to speak unto you, I have had a more than ordinary good success in the way of the law of the Lord, which is in Christ. Okay, this is the witness of the Father. Okay, this is the witness of the Father, and he has given witness concerning dreams and visions. Okay, so the Apostle Barnabas is writing this letter. He's sharing with the saints here that he's writing to us concerning that the Lord gave him a word of knowledge, the Lord gave him a word of wisdom, or the Lord gave him a dream or a vision. It's concerning this. Same thing the Lord's doing today. Okay, this process has not stopped. That's a sign and a wonder. Okay, this process has not stopped, that God continues to communicate in this fashion. Okay, in order to instruct his saints in righteousness. And we'll be talking about the righteous judgments of the Lord here. Okay, by dreams and visions. Okay, verse 5. Which cause, brethren, I also think, really, that I love you above my own soul. Because the things that were granted to him wasn't just to the benefit of himself, but to benefit others. Okay, and this is what the grace of God is granted to us for, is to benefit not just ourselves, but all those that we, okay, all those that are in the vine. Okay, we benefit the whole. Okay, I think really that I love you above my own soul, because that therein dwells the greatness of faith and charity, as also the hope of that life which is to come. Okay, now what do you see? You see three things right there, right? You see faith, hope, and charity. Okay, it is the same thing the Apostle Paul speaks of, faith, hope, and charity. Okay, for your soul carries these virtues, faith, hope, and charity. Your faith is finding a form of expression, and that expression being found in the truth is that charity which you're communicating one to another, which continues to make our hope living. Okay, when your hope is removed, the soul falls into despair. Okay, when a hope is evident, okay, we continue to be steadfast with him. And the Lord continually refreshes us with this through the tools he's provided for us, his being our advocate. Okay, so he's providing these tools for us in order to carry us into the inheritance. In verse 6, so by this power of God, wherefore considering this, that is the power of God, that I shall take care to communicate, there's our charity again, to communicate to you a part of what I have received in that visions or dream. Okay, this is a reward for your obedience, okay, and of course your obedience is now being fulfilled, so therefore your joy in Christ, okay, is increasing. Okay, by this form of communication, dreams and visions, pinning the letter, this letter of instruction, and encouragement to edification. Okay, a part of what I have received, it shall turn to my reward, okay, that I have served such good souls. See, I gave diligence, that is upon your request there. Okay, I have given diligence to write in a few words unto you, that together with your faith, and we joined our faith with each other through prayer and our prophecies, sacrifices, as we do with all the saints, okay, whether present at this time or abroad, okay, that we join faith together through these sacrifices. See, we are having a communion of the Holy Ghost. And this communion, Satan can't enter into it because it didn't spring from the earth. It's not from the vine, okay, it's from the soul of God. Okay, the communion of the Holy Ghost is from the soul of God. Okay. Okay, that together with your faith, knowledge also may be perfect. Okay, so we got government, truth, and spirit. And as the Spirit unfolds the mystery of Christ to you, in you, and through you. Okay, knowledge also may be perfect. Okay, verse 7. There's a lot said right there, just a few verses. Okay, verse 7. There are therefore three things ordained by the Lord. Of course, we'll be talking about this. And these three things have to do with his promise, okay, its source, and its destiny. Okay, its promise and the source and its destiny. See, there are therefore three things ordained by the Lord. This has been prepared in the bosom of the Father, okay, for our hope. Okay, this was prepared in the bosom of the Father for our hope. Okay, because that is our destiny. Okay, if it's our source, then it's our destiny. If our source is from the Holy Ghost, then our destiny is within Him. See, but if our source is those things which are earthbound, okay, we remove ourselves from the divine destiny, okay, and we sever ourselves being alienated to the covenant. We sever ourselves from God. Okay, we continually remain in the shadow of darkness under Satan's influence. Okay, the beginning and the completion of it. Okay, which he says in verse 11. So we're talking about three things which Barnabas brings to our attention: the promise, its source being the bosom of the Father, and its destiny, okay, being qualified and worthy and competent to enter back into the bosom of our Father. Okay, so these things teach us that we should not pursue after vain things, okay, and estrange ourselves from the promise of God, which the Jews did coming out of Egypt. They were estranged from these things, the covenant which God gave to Moses to give to them, okay, because their hope was on, the things of their aspiration, okay, and not in obedience to God. Okay, but two things were fulfilled, okay, the promise of the fathers and the hope of the inheritance. Okay, we see that it goes all the way back to Abraham, both of the flesh and of the spirit. Okay, both of the flesh and the spirit. We are those of the spirit, okay, as Abraham also was that of faith. Okay, we are also those of that of faith. Okay, following that divine pattern of revelation, resistance, and reward. See, so if we're following that divine pattern, which record we find in Jesus Christ, okay, we are also as the offspring of Abraham, okay, which makes us kings and priests, okay, the offspring of Abraham. That's why the Lord uses that simulation, okay, or similarity there. Okay, in Abraham, because one is a flesh and one is a spirit. Okay, but being in the flesh, he was also a king and a prince, okay, and a high priest. And so also Christ carried that tradition, and we by faith in him also carry that tradition. Born priests, born kings, prepared as priests. That's a new word. Okay. Okay, verse 8. For the Lord has both declared unto us by the prophets. Okay, those things, okay, God hid in Christ, God hid Christ in the Torah from the carnal-minded. The Lord has both declared unto us by the prophets those things, okay, which he just spoke of right here, okay, the promises, the source, and its destiny, okay, that are past, okay, and open to us the beginnings of those things that are to come. This is a key he's talking about. Okay, giving us a key to unlock the unfathomable treasures. Okay, by his grace, you can see his wisdom and his judgments, okay, which he proposed to do in Christ and us who believe. Okay, this is a key. Now it goes all the way back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, and also 3:15, if you want to make a note on that. Okay, so the Apostle Barnabas is using this particular passage as a key, okay, unlocking unto us this mystery. Okay, that which is that which is yet to come. Okay, or that which is past is also that which is future. So we can see that unfolding from the first millennium into the seventh millennium. The first millennium is going to, the seventh millennium is going to reflect that of the first millennium, where righteousness will rule. Okay, and angels will be in the earth. Okay, and at first subject to man. Okay, but there's not going to be any giants. Okay, we're going to have, you're going to see, we'll be giant free during the millennium. Okay, of Christ, the seventh millennium. We're in this ninth week. Okay, open to us the beginnings of those things that are to come, so we can see the key there. Okay, we can see the key. Okay, verse 9. Wherefore it behoove us, okay, as he has spoken, behoove us as he has spoken to come more holily and nearer to his altar. See, as not to grow weak by the contradiction that exists in this world. Okay, and not to grow weak in your labor of charity. Because the contradiction is going to be in the world. The Lord is not going to remove that yet. Okay, He put that there for the purpose. Okay, because putting that contrariness in the world, it causes us to continue to throw upon Him our hope, okay, and our care, our sacrifices. Verse 10. I therefore not as a teacher, but as one of you, will endeavor to lay before you a few things by which you may, on many accounts, become the more joyful. And that is, of course, to see His mercy in these things. And we're going to be seeing this. Okay, chapter 2. Seeing that the days are exceeding evil, okay, because now the Apostle Barnabas is going to use contrast, as also seen the Apostle Clement, as also seen the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you see the writings also in the Apostle John and Peter. okay, that they continually bring contrast for discernment. Okay, they bring contrast for discernment. So they say this is good and that's not and that's bad. This is holy and that's unholy. Okay, that is this is the common bread and this is the holy bread. Okay, so seeing that these things in contrast, seeing that the days are exceeding evil. Okay, and even that which is coming, I was going to be talking about the sixth week right here. Okay, as where the adversary will come to fruition. Okay, in the birth of the beast. Okay, which of course we're living in the last days. Okay, the very last of the days. Okay, seeing then that the days are exceeding evil, and the adversary has got the power of this present world. Okay, we ought to give the more diligence to inquire into the righteous judgments of the Lord. Now he'll be repeating himself later on, but he's going to explain himself here. The righteous judgments of the Lord. And you might want to highlight that there in verse 1, the righteous judgments of the Lord. Okay, these are the judgments, they're called righteous judgments because these are the policies which God is setting for our growth. Okay, he sets policy, righteous judgments are set for the righteous. Okay, but judgments are also set in his wrath for the wicked. Okay, the righteous judgments of the Lord. Okay, he wounds and he heals. He kills and he makes alive. These are your cycles of growth. So God sets the scenario for your faith. Okay, but he doesn't inflame the passion of the sinners against you. Okay, the passion of the sinners is inflamed against you from Satan. Okay, as God set, as we see, what he's going to be bringing out here, further on, okay, as concerning he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for iniquities. Now this is in chapter 4. Okay, why did the Apostle Barnabas bring this to our attention? To show us that this is a righteous judgment of God. Okay, that God set the policy concerning the sacrifice of his Son. This was already set in the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world. Okay, but God did not inflame the hearts of the wicked. Okay, he did not inflame their passion against him. Okay, which the scriptures declared that would happen. Okay, that they would willingly yield to Satan's influence. Okay, as envy and strife and bitterness and hate. Okay, anger and wrath. Okay, these were the dogs. These were the bulls that beset him round about. Okay, these were the serpents. Okay, and the words they were speaking was that venom. Okay, by which they were trying to poison him. Okay, through these words. Okay, so the righteous judgments of the Lord, that God determines all things, okay, in righteousness for you. Okay, that God has set the scenario for your faith. Okay, now the sooner you learn this as concerning his righteous judgments, the quicker you're going to be in a reflection of faith. Okay, that the scenarios which God sets for you, even though the circumstances, as like an example, you read it in the book of Acts. Okay, the Apostle Paul was in a ship. Okay, and he fasted for 14 days because the ship was going up and down in Adria there, and there was a northeaster coming in. Right, that's a judgment of God. It's a righteous judgment of God. Why? Okay, because we can see that the scriptures declare in that, okay, that being put on a certain island, that a revival took place. Okay, now the circumstances were evil, okay, but they're righteous judgments of God. To the sinner, okay, it was, okay, you can say it was just, okay, a freak act of nature, but the Apostle Paul knew that it was an act of God because God comforted him in that, didn't he? He says, Paul, not one soul that's among you shall be lost if you remain in a ship. That's a righteous judgment of the Lord, see. So the Apostle Paul reflected upon those things, okay, in this judgment, even though its appearance was evil, okay, and very life threatening. Yet God was the one involved with it. Okay, God was involved with that. Again, these are the righteous judgments of the Lord. Okay, and if you can think through the day of the righteous judgments of the Lord that were bear upon your mind, okay, or your circumstances. Okay, that God provided you an opportunity to reward you. Okay, that God set the scenario, even though the passions of the sinners were inflamed by the devil. Okay, yet, you choose faith in these circumstances, reflect upon his promises, and not be overcome by the words of iniquity. Okay? As Jesus wasn't overcome by the words of iniquity, okay, we also, okay, being steadfast in him, will be overcome with the words of iniquity. Okay? Say, verse 2, now the assistance of our faith are fear and patience. Okay, and this is the fear of the Lord. Okay, not the fear of man, which is principal, but the fear of God, which is withdrawing. Okay, if God withdraws his light from us, then we fall into despair. But as long as you're in the light, okay, there's hope. Okay, as long as you're light, there's hope. Now, the assistance of our faith, our fear and patience, our fellow combatants, long-suffering and continence. Okay, and continence right here. in these judgments. These are the virtues which we exhibit in these judgments, which he says up here, righteous judgments. Okay, that we also show forth patience and long-suffering. We can endure the contradiction of sinners, as Christ also had to endure the contradiction of sinners against himself. See? Okay, he had to endure the contradiction of sinners, his own creation. Okay, and even though we're of the flesh, okay, yet our struggle is also in the flesh. Okay, with those that are in the flesh. Okay, but our tools are the divine ones. Okay, in verse 3 here. While these remain pure, that's the tools now, while these remain pure in what relates to the Lord, being our advocate now, okay, wisdom and understanding and science and knowledge rejoice together with them, because this is what grace brings us. So his judgments are read to us in equity, so that the reward of faith begets more fruit. Okay, this is how we build his glorious kingdom, through these things. Okay, I'll say that again. His judgments, remember we're talking about his righteous judgments, Barnabas is bringing this to their attention here. His judgments are weighed to us in equity, so that the reward of faith begets more fruit. This is how we build his glorious kingdom, through these things. Okay, so that way we don't fall into loss. Okay, we don't fall into loss, but we continue to advance. That's what the word abound means, to advance, to abound, to increase. We increase in knowledge, we increase in charity, we increase in faith, through each trial that's presented to you. Okay, even though with difficulty we struggle, okay, yet as we use the tools, we overcome. Okay, now if judgment begin at the house of God in this form, what shall be the end of those who resist the covenant? Okay, the wrath of God, and we see this coming on the horizon. Okay, as the time of the tribulation, which we will escape. Okay, verse 4, for God has manifested to us all by all the prophets, because they also follow the same pattern. Okay, that he has no occasion for our sacrifices, the carnal things. Okay, the carnal things are those things which suffer loss. Okay, which shows that whatever man does under any other terms will suffer loss. Okay, as Barnabas is going to bring out here, all the sacrifices of that covenant suffer loss. That means you cannot build on ashes, but out of the ashes would come a new kingdom, okay, which is Christ. So from the ashes of the bullock would arise a divine lamb, okay, Christ rising from the dead. Okay, so therefore ending Moses' law and bringing us into us a new law. Okay, not a law which would be established by carnal wine, but a law which is established by his own blood, which of course Jesus says we must eat and we must drink, spiritually speaking, and that's what we're doing here. Okay, we are offering back to him those things which he sprinkled with his blood. See, so therefore we're eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. Okay, so all those things of that covenant always suffered loss, for God has manifest to us by all the prophets that he had no occasion for our sacrifices, or burnt offerings or oblations. Okay, saying this, to what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Okay, what was the rule of thumb for this? Okay, now sure, God gave to him the covenant in these things, but what was the purpose of it? Okay, this is what God is showing to us. Okay, that those things which he gave under that covenant were going to pass away. Remember, Moses only saw the backsides of the Lord, didn't he? Okay, which shows that the things which Moses had at that point in time, the revelation of Christ was only in passing. It was only in passing. But then, face to face. Okay, then face to face, and that's when Jesus came into the form of the flesh. See, that which was concealed in the articles and tools of that covenant, okay, in prophecy, were now fulfilled in prophecy when Jesus came. When Jesus came in the form of the flesh. So, what were the purposes of these sacrifices? To point to the one that was eternal, okay, and that we no longer work with temporary things. Okay, anything that springs of the soil. Okay, anything that's of the appetites of man. Okay, anything that's of the indulgence of Adam's nature. Okay, has to be subdued, and that will be subdued by Christ. Okay, and so he goes on here. Okay, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beasts. Okay, which was all temporary, showing Adam's beastly nature. Okay, which had to be subdued. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of he goats. Okay, what life was there in that blood? See, it was the blood that was shed represented only death, but Jesus' blood that was shed represented a new life. Okay, and that's why it spoke better things than that of Abel. The blood which Abel, the blood which was shed from the body of Abel, okay, spoke of condemnation, okay, which had to do with revenge against all the Cain's seed. And the petitions of Abel were fulfilled, because not one of Cain's seed survived the flood. Okay, so the murder of Abel, okay, and the murder of Abel by Cain, okay, and Abel's petitioning to God, which shows that Abel was still alive, okay, in the next world, that Abel was still alive, that he made petitions to God against his own brother, and God fulfilled those things. This is also going to be fulfilled again, that all those that follow the beastly nature will be destroyed, because all those that follow the beastly nature will take on the image of the beast, which is the 666. And all those that take on that mark of that beast, okay, will worship him, which means they will use the tools and knowledge that he provides for them, okay, being the Antichrist. See? So all those that follow the beastly nature will perish with the beastly nature. All the things of that which is common with man will be consumed upon the altar. Okay? But Christ has provided us a new hope. So that which is ashes is no tool for faith, for it is counted as loss. Okay, so he had no delight in the blood of bullocks or of he goats. For my kingdom yet remains unbuilded. Okay, it's unbuilt. Okay, did the ashes of that kingdom build my kingdom? No, it didn't. Okay, that's why Jesus came. You'll read it in the epistles or in the letters there and in epistles. Okay, behold, the kingdom of God is among you. Behold, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus says, I am now establishing a new law, new contact point, new covenant. Okay, to build with. Okay, not that which is consumed in there. Okay, which is here and gone. Okay, which has to do with only sustain the appetite of the priest. Okay, but now we're not living by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay. We're not living where our souls are not being established by the perishables, okay, but by the imperishables. Okay, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hands? Okay, with these temporary things, you shall no more tread my courts, because these things will not bring us into the throne room of God in heaven. Okay, you shall no more tread my courts with these things. Bring no more vain oblations, incense is abomination to me. Wow. Okay, because it's all earthy. Okay, it's all earthy and it's temporary. Okay, all it is that God gave physical contact points, okay, until Christ came. Your new moons and Sabbaths, okay, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even a solemn assemblies, a solemn meeting or assemblies. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. Wow. That is very strong language which the Lord here is emphasizing upon those things. So if anybody observes the Sabbath day today, okay, as concerning, you say, improving their spiritual life, this is what God is speaking to them. Okay, that my soul hates these things. And what, how did the Lord say that in the book of Revelation? Which thing I hate. What was the thing he hate? The doctrines of Nicolaitans, which had to do with the law. Okay, that the early Christians, okay, began to, those which weren't using the spiritual tools, tried to improve themselves, okay, by that law, which was destroyed. Okay, the angel left, okay, the sanctuary, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The angel left. The angel that sanctified those things, okay, that which were temporary, left the temple. They left the temple of stone. And 40 days later, or 50 days later, it entered into the temples of flesh on the day of Pentecost. Okay, this is a new temple, and in here is a new tools, and the tools, of course, is that which God gives us to worship Him with. Okay, as tongues, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and spirit, gifts, callings, and graces of God. These are the new tools which the Spirit sanctifies within us. See? All right, verse 8. Now, these things, therefore, has God abolished. There's another strong word, abolished, hates, and He calls it iniquitous. Okay, that the new law, which is Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is without the yoke of any such necessity. See that? The yoke of any such necessity. Okay, nothing carnal. Okay, no water, no wine, no bread. No stained glass windows. You see, you don't have to have pews. Okay, no tithing, no silver, no gold, nor gold. Okay, nothing of any physical nature can redeem you, because Christ has already provided, okay, the tools for that, for faith. Okay, in the tools of this covenant. Okay, and this is what Barnabas is telling the Christians here. Say that don't give yourselves over to the doctrine of Nicolaitans. okay, which we see, of course, very the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is very much championed, okay, as I watched the 700 Club and watched TBN. Okay, they continue resort to the law for perfection. Okay, the dietary laws, the cleansing laws, and the tithing laws. Okay, they go right back to those things. They have physicians coming on as concerning all these things of how one can improve themselves. Again, apart outside the covenant. Okay, what does it do? It's no profit. There's no profit in it. And the Lord says, these things I hate, because he's removing man's confidence from me and putting it in man again. Okay, Jesus died on the cross. Okay, not the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and not a Bible, and not Moses. Jesus died on the cross. Okay, so Lord, see, which is without the yoke of any such necessity, might have the spiritual offering amend themselves, okay, with divine tools, okay, in eternal vessels. The first thing has to do with that all that of the first covenant is all temporary as the flesh. But now we see with the divine tools in the eternal vessels. This vessel which we are dwelling in right now is eternal. Okay, is eternal. Okay, because Christ dwells within us. He rose from the dead in the flesh. We also have our flesh too. Okay, so that's why we'll be able to take different forms. Okay, we'll be also take from the form of the flesh to the form of flame, from the form of flame to the form of flesh. We will also take different forms within that. See, that's pretty neat. How the Lord is going to provide us these manifestations. Okay, so we can also appear before the people during the millennium and says, "Well, this is what I look like, you know, before the rapture." You know, I says, "But you don't want to see that. Look at my new image here." Okay. Okay, first of all, the Lord says again, okay, to those heretofore, did I at all command your fathers when they came out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices? Okay, was it the covenant of Christ that they were to view? Okay, the covenant that he gave them. Okay, now when he says right here, did I all? Yes, he did. Okay, but for what purpose? So that they can just consume it. The flesh? No. So they can serve God in fulfillment of promise. That's all. Okay. But they fell in unbelief. This is what the false religious church system today has done. Okay. It's provided knowledge outside the covenant. It's providing the activity, okay, of unbelief. Okay. Everything is built around Adam's aspiration. Okay. As concerning the tithe. Okay, the tithing is for the purpose of getting. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, if I do this, I can get from God what I desire. Okay, and this is where all the other carnal things come in, from the little square prayer clause to the woods to a piece of oak tree or olive tree, for a piece of an olive tree or water from the Jordan River. Okay, or a new one too is even packaging Peter's shadow. You know what? Here, I have Peter's shadow in here. But if you open it, it would escape. So you see, you can't see it. Okay, verse 10. For this I commend them, saying, let none of you imagine, there's the word imagine, so you might want to underline that. Imagine, see, Satan can enter into the imagination to inflame the passions and the pride, the ambition. But this I command them, saying, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts. So the word evil also means as concerning faithlessness. Okay, faithlessness, okay, is evil. Okay, it's darkness itself. And imagine evil in your hearts, because this is where evil dwells, in the imagination. Against his neighbor and love no false oath. Okay, that which works a lie. For Christ will not enter into your folly. Christ will not enter into the imagination. Okay? He only works with faith. This is his design. We'll see that in verse 11. For as much then as we are not without understanding, because we have come in a covenant with him, okay, we ought to apprehend the design. So underline the word the design there. Okay, the design of his plan for salvation is in his covenant. Okay, the design of our merciful Father. Well, where is his mercy at? Mercy is in his tools. Okay, for he speaks to us, being willing that we who have been in the same ear about the sacrifices of that other covenant, okay, should seek and find how to approach into him with these new tools. Okay, or that is on his terms, okay, and not to fulfill our deceitful lust. Okay, our approach to him is not on their terms. Okay, when people tithe money, they want God to enter into that imagination on their terms. That's outside the covenant. Okay, these are the children of wrath. Okay, that do these things. The gospel that is being preached in the second and eighth week is to bring him out from that bondage and then ensnarement, so that those which have been illuminated now can serve God free from that oppression. Okay, and that God will care for them. Okay, this is what the judgments of the Lord are. Okay, he gives us these judgments in order that through these things we can see his care for us. Okay, whether it be wound or whether it be healing, whether it be loss or whether it be gain, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Philippians 4. Okay, because I know how and all both I both know how in all things to abound and to suffer and to suffer loss and to be hungry and to be full. Okay, I mean why is Paul saying this in Philippians? Because we're to continue to rejoice in him regardless of what judgment he sets for our faith to be exercised with. See that? So that we are no more encumbered with trying to find our way out, but rather just exercise our faith and deliverance is there. See that? That's what it's given to us for. So you don't have to run down to the Bible bookstore, okay, and buy the next book, okay, written out by Benny Hinn or Joyce Meyer, or the new one put out by Pat Robertson about politics. You don't have to buy any of these books anymore. Okay? You don't even your money is no good in God's kingdom. Just put it that way. Your money is no good in God's kingdom. Okay? Except that which is, of course, which is enjoined to his covenant. Okay? The price of your faith. Okay, and find how to approach to him. Okay, let's go on here. And therefore he thus bespeaks us, the sacrifices of God are what? Okay, what is a true sacrifice? The sacrifices of God is a broken spirit. Okay, that which is absent of pride. Okay, that which is absent of pride. A broken and contrary heart God will not despise. The true sacrifice is the heart of faith. Okay, contrite heart to God. Okay, not one that's trying to stick to his aspiration, but one that's putting it aside for his love. Okay, setting aside the aspiration for his love, as also our Lord showed us, setting aside those powers in order to provide us a pattern for that love to be expressed with. Isn't that? Okay, wherefore, brethren, we ought the more diligently to inquire after those things he provided for our faith that belong to our salvation. See that the adversary. Because only carnal things the adversary entered into for the aspirations now may not have any entrance into us and deprive us of that spiritual life, okay, by other tools and false knowledge. Okay, he will deprive you of the life of God with false tools, okay, or other tools and false knowledge. Okay, if you use those things, you will condemn yourself. Okay, if you use those things, you'll condemn yourself, as the Apostle Paul also said in Corinthians, that they drink damnation to themselves. Okay, not observing the Lord's body. That means not using those things which he shed his blood for. Okay, they're still trying to, okay, please God by carnal things. It won't work. Okay, it hasn't worked and it won't work. Okay, verse 14. Wherefore he again speaks to the saints here, to them concerning these things. Okay, that is the fate that the fate of the faithlessness of their faithlessness. Okay. You shall not fast. Now, when he says about here the fasting, he says as to project. Because those of that covenant fasted to project in order to try to, okay, move God into a position or to also put them in the position of being in a favorable position, okay, in favor with God. Okay, that is projection. So what did the Lord say about that? Okay, because it was, again, carnal. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high. That's to project, see? Okay, is it such a fast that I have chosen? No. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Okay, is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Say, will you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is Christ in these things? Okay, well, let's see on. Let's read on here, verse 16. But to us he said this in this wise. Okay, is not this the fast? Okay, that is to fast from our aspirations. Not from food, but from your aspiration. Okay, that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness. Well, where would the bands of wickedness be? In the principle and the aspiration. To loose the bands of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. This is what truth does. We read that this morning in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8. Okay, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But he was speaking to those that were under, again, his stewardship, speaking to them this new knowledge. This knowledge which I've given unto you is the truth which will break these bonds. Okay, and bring you into covenant with me. Okay, I'm your contact point. Okay, through this knowledge which I have given to you, and this is your freedom. To this he says in this wise, it is not this the fast that I have done these things, to loose and to undo, okay, and let go free, okay, every and to break every yoke. Verse 17. So this is charity. Okay, is it not to deal? Now notice one is receiving, the other one is giving. To deal, to bring the cover. To deal, to bring the cover. Okay, the one is to incur, okay, for the aspiration, but the other is to deny and to bring life. And that's what we do when we express charity. When we express charity, we are denying ourselves. Okay, we're denying our aspiration. Okay, we're denying our pride. Okay, for he that denies himself shall find true life, as Jesus brought out. Okay, that he that finds his life shall lose it. Okay, but he that loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. So denying the life has to do with the power of the pride, the power of the aspiration, which would drown you and hold you in bondage and keep you in the fear of your imagination. Okay, and keep you in the fear of your imagination. Okay, whatever you imagine is what you begin to work with, and you begin to set principles accordingly. Okay, but you don't want to live by that power, because that's where Satan dwells. Okay, let's go on here. Okay, is it not to deal, to give and not take? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, not to take the bread out of the mouth of the hungry? And that you bring the poor that are cast out of your house, not to kick them out, but bring them in? Okay, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh, that means that you face the true value of this covenant. Right? That you cannot hide behind your weaknesses. You cannot hide behind your weaknesses, as to hide from your own flesh. Verse 18. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. May the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Of course, that's the fruit. So his judgments bring light, not loss and darkness to the soul. Okay? His judgments bring light, not darkness and loss to the soul. Okay? That we can trust him with. Even as the life of Job depicted, okay, through his endurance and his patience, okay, that the judgments of God, okay, even through that suffrage, yet was gained. Gain came through that suffrage. So when we suffer, we also will be glorified with him. See that? So we go through the door of suffering, we enter into the room of glory. This is your cycles of growth. These are the judgments of the Lord. Okay, this is what we rejoice in, we continue to build his kingdom with. Okay? So we suffer loss to make gain. Okay? We suffer the loss of our pride to make gain of his virtue. Okay? And okay, verse 19. Then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. Wow, your judgments and your it has to do with that. Through these terms, okay, you have the answer to your prayer. Of course, now we see this depicted as what Jesus was teaching, and also what the Apostle John was teaching. Okay, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. John said that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Okay, and this is what the Apostle Barnabas is talking about right here. Okay, that then you shall call, and I will answer. The Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and you shall say, here am I, or here I am. Right, and all right, if you put away from the midst of you the yoke of the putting forth of the finger, that is the pointing of the principle, and speaking vanity, okay, which is, of course, the vanity has to do with the flattery, the fantasy, and the finance of that system, the world. And if you draw out the soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul with truth and not aspiration, okay, and the books are aspiration, okay, the books are not, okay, are not truth. It's just aspiration. All it does is bring you from one point of exhaustion to another point of exhaustion. Okay, well, if that book didn't work, wait to read my next book. Okay, and you continue to build a library of books of aspiration, okay, rather than the truth. Okay. Verse 20. Okay, is this there? In this, therefore, brethren, God is manifested. Okay, that means that which was concealed is made known. All right, but He conceals truth from the covetous, which seek only the reward and not the life of God. See, so in this, therefore, brethren, God has manifested His foreknowledge and love for us. That God, writing these things, okay, within these things, He puts things down in the Scriptures, okay, which the carnal mind can find aspiration in, okay, but the righteous find inspiration in, okay, because it confirms the pattern which God provided for us. See, okay, that's what's interesting about the writings of the letters. See, that the carnal-minded can read the same Bible we're reading and come up with a different conclusion. Okay, because they're reading the Scriptures from the standpoint of aspiration. Okay, that same thing, when Kenneth Hagin read Mark 11:23 and 24, he read that for aspiration. you have what you say. So by selecting that scripture for projection of his faith, okay, which is false faith, okay, he led many good souls into corruption and death, okay, because of that aspiration. But many joined themselves, the carnal-minded joined themselves to that spirit, which is an earthly spirit. Okay? This drowned many good people in that perdition and made them aggressive against the truth because they built a lot of confidence around that aspiration, see? Okay? And included in that aspiration was also binding and loosing the demons and pleading the blood. Okay? All that was inside that same thing. Okay? That same interpretation of Scripture. Okay, so in this, therefore, brethren, God has manifested his foreknowledge, knowing the carnal nature of man and his brute nature, and love for us that will believe in him. Because the people which he has purchased in to his beloved Son were to believe in sincerity, being free from guile. Being free from guile. So we who read the Scriptures according to faith, okay, are free from guile. But those who read the Scriptures according to aspiration, okay, continually add iniquity into iniquity. Instead of the work of regeneration, okay, they continue to struggle with the inner man. Okay, they can't understand why they can't overcome. Okay, they're in that. They continually struggle with the paradox. Okay, and they quote the scripture and they continually struggle with the paradox. They say they read in the scriptures what is the lifestyle of one that's overcoming, yet why is it they can't achieve that? So this is where like Gloria Copeland came up. Okay, instead of one of her magazines there, The Voice of Victory, which is not a voice of victory, okay, which said that holiness is the last frontier. Okay, not even understanding. Okay, she's teaching things which she does not understand. And so therefore, she, and saying that, what was she saying? Okay, she wasn't saying it outrightly, okay, but what she was saying was concerning the inner struggle and the paradox of her own frailties and shortcomings. That's what she was saying, see? Okay, in that. Okay, that we need to stretch ourselves into holiness. Okay, you know, after 25 years, now you suddenly got to that point. Okay, that's 25 years of loss. Okay, that's 25 years of consuming a consuming practice and not a building practice. Huh? That's right. No sanctification. Right. They're outside the covenant. Okay, so in this, therefore, brethren, God has manifested his foreknowledge and love for us, because the people which he has purchased to his Son were to believe in sincerity, free from guile. And therefore he has shown these things to all of us who are faith, that we should not run as proselytes to the Jewish law. Okay, that we don't run that direction, okay, trying to improve our spiritual life, okay, by carnal things. Can't do it. Okay. You just have to be patient. And this is what the Apostle John brings out is concerning that struggle. That's why I said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So he says, I write unto you for this purpose, that you don't lean to the aspiration, the wisdom of the world to try to overcome. You got to work with the tools of the covenant. You will overcome if you do that. Okay? But if you remain double-minded about it, you're never going to overcome. You just continue to frustrate yourself. That's all you're going to do is just frustrate. Okay, and when you frustrate yourself, Satan will gain the upper hand. Okay, and continue to sow doubt. Okay, and enter your aspirations. Okay, chapter 3. Here we have about 10 minutes left here. Let's turn to chapter 3 here. Wherefore it is necessary that searching diligently into those things which you just spoke about, okay, which are near to come to pass, we should write unto you what may serve to keep you whole. The Apostle Barnabas right here has given us already a glimpse that he already has foreknowledge concerning the time of darkness of the church. And that's talking about the sixth week. So you want to make a note, you can make a note in the column there and write sixth week next to verse 1. Okay, that you should, that he says that we should write to you, we apostles need to write to you, okay, what may serve to keep you whole, that through this time of darkness, the time of revelation. Okay, this is what the Apostle Hermas saw. This is what the Apostle Paul saw. This is what the Apostle John saw. Okay, in the book of Revelation. Okay, that the mother of harlots was already gaining influence in the minds of the people through the doctrine of Nicolaitans, the doctrine of Balaam, and also we can see that Jezebel departed from the government of God. Okay, and to emphasize, okay, the miracles and the healings rather than government, truth, and spirit. Okay. She started her own Bible school, okay, on that gift, or again, on that which the angel was working with, okay, but not sanctifying her faith. Okay, so therefore, the Lord says, I will kill her children with death. okay, her school and her children, the disciples. Okay, I remove them and I will prove to you and show you that I know the reins and hearts of all men. Okay, I will show you. This is what the Lord is doing today. Okay, that the time of separation has begun, and the time of temptation of the church has already begun. Okay, it began about a few years ago. Okay, the Lord has now made, the Lord is making known, the Lord is making distinction. The angels are being sent forth. That those who do not listen to this knowledge, the knowledge of this grace, okay, will be bound with the tares. Okay, they will be bound with the tares in whatever denomination they choose, and await the time of their judgment. Okay, but those that have an ear will hear. Okay, those whose hearts the Lord has prepared, and whose hearts also been circumcised. Verse 2. By which end let us flee from the evil work, and hate the errors of the present time, that we may be happy, okay, in that which is to come. That the hearts of the saints, by the Spirit of God, will read and understand His mercy and His judgments. This is what we're doing now, see? 2,000 years. Okay? 2,000 years ago, Barnabas wrote this. Now we're 2,000 years in the future. Okay? What Barnabas wrote. Okay? So what he wrote is now benefiting us today. Okay? Helping us to understand that we can remove our feet from those snares, okay, which have been set by those which are unrighteous ministers. The unrighteous ministers. See, let us not give ourselves to the liberty of disputing with the wicked and sinners, okay, of those of that system. Okay, lest we should chance in time to come to be likened to them, to impose our principle and not just to reveal the truth. Okay, and that's what they're living by. They're living by the principle and not by truth. Okay, I'll give about 7 more minutes, so you might get your sacrifices prepared. For the consummation of the end of sin has come. That means that the time and the end of its reign is soon near. Okay, it's soon to come. And of course, now we're going to see the Apostle Barnabas is quoting some things out of the book of Daniel. Okay, and according out of the book of Daniel, we're going to see that he's going to show how the man of sin is going to come to reign. First, it will reign in the heart. Then it will reign in the earth. This is what he's bringing out here. Christ is reigning in our hearts. We will also reign with him in the earth. Right, okay, as kings during the millennium, okay. But right now, the man of sin is already reigning in the hearts of these people, which must be overcome, or else, if he rules the heart, he rules also in the earth. And this is what he brings out in the book of Daniel here, okay, and starting with verse 4. Okay, for the consummation of sin has come, as is written, as the prophet Daniel says. Okay, and for this end, the Lord has shortened the times and the days that His beloved might hasten His coming to His inheritance. And that's the third covenant. The Lord has shortened the times to hasten this coming from the 5,500 years to the 4,000 years. Okay, even Daniel saw that. Now, that's in the book of Enoch, see, called the Rejected Mysteries. So Christ, instead of coming the 5,500th year, which would put it in the 15th century when Moses didn't discover America. I think it was Columbus did, or the other guy did. Okay, a time when Columbus discovered the Indies, okay, or so-called America there. Okay, that at that time Christ would have came. See, but the Lord shortened that time, and He came in the fourth millennium. Okay, calling that the first eighth week. Okay, so Daniel, seeing these things, okay, by the Spirit, he writes on here in verse 5, for so the prophet speaks this. Okay, there shall 10 kings reign in the heart, okay, which has to do with the heart first here. Okay, and there shall arise last of all another little one, and he shall humble 3 kings. Okay, it's concerning the fullness of time that Christ also will come and rule, okay, in the hearts. And again, Daniel speaks in light manner concerning the kingdoms. And he foresaw this, and I saw the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had 10 horns. Okay, we're going to see the number 10-7 here. Okay, 10 horns, also 7 crowns. Okay, on the horns, and also one that had 10 horns and 10 crowns. Okay, one is the mother of harlots, and the other has to do with the beast. Okay, but we're not going to get into that right now, but we'll be coming to that in the book of Revelation. Okay, we'll speak more of those things. Okay, so in this he saw that it was exceeding strong, that it was a perfection, and it was a completion and perfection of iniquity, but not the completion and perfection of righteousness. Okay, Christ is the 10-7, okay, the Lamb, having 7 eyes and 7 horns, okay, which represents perfection. Okay, he is going to be perfection, okay, and the perfection would be completed where? In the 10th week. Okay, will it be completed? Okay, will we be brought back into the place of our origin? Okay, where all weeks would be as one age. So I saw the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. We ought therefore to understand this also. And she's showing the parallel between the heart and the system that influences the heart. So I beseech you as one of your own brethren, love you all beyond my own life, that you look well to yourselves. Don't follow the path of these kings. Don't follow the path of the influences of the princes of this world. Don't allow iniquity to take root in your heart, okay, because you'll be swallowed up in the end time. Okay, and be not like to those, okay, who add sin to sin and say that their covenant is ours also, okay, which would they also say, about which the beast, by the way, makes a 7-year covenant with the children of Israel, but breaks it midway. Okay, during the second 3.5 years, see that? But that is not the covenant that Christ died for. Okay? That's the covenant of deception, okay, which the beast will make for the whole world, okay, for peace in the world, which is pseudo peace. Okay, that their covenant is ours also. No, it's not, he says, but it's ours only at concerning Christ. Okay, for they have forever lost that which Moses received. For Moses is not included in the covenant of Christ, but the beast will honor Christ and blaspheme those in heaven. Okay, the beast will uphold the law as concerning proclaiming the year of Jubilee, establishing the temple, and the sacrifices again. But he'll blaspheme God and those which are raptured. See that? That's how clever he is. Okay, we see the same thing today, that people in the church uphold the Bible, okay, but blaspheme God in their hearts. So that shows that the beast is already reigning there, and that they will confirm their beast, or their so-called Messiah, when he comes, see, they would be the very ones that confirm him, okay, and they'd be consumed in a sense, okay. So the 10 kings reign, which meaning the beast that rules the heart must be subdued. It's the 3 kingdoms that sin may be conquered, but not by Moses' law, as the beast shall preach, but by Christ, who shall consume all things by his word, and he will consume all those contrary to him by the brightness of his coming, all right, with all his saints. Okay, and we will be with him when he comes back to rule. Okay, in verse 8 here, and we got about a minute to go. But thus says the scripture, Moses continued fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the mount, and he received the covenant from the Lord, even the 2 tables of stone written by the hand of God. And having turned themselves to idols, they lost it. Okay, the Jewish leaders sought the benefits of the law apart from the faith in the covenant of that law. Okay, Barnabas is showing this, that this is the same thing that's going to be unfolding during the last days. And this is what's happening. Okay, the very same thing. Okay, verse 9, but having turned themselves to idols, they lost it. See the word idols right there. Okay, an idol has to do with the aspiration of their own hearts, the gospel. Okay, as the Lord also said to Moses, Moses, go down quickly, for your people which you have brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves, and turned aside from the way which is faith and patience, which I commanded them. So Moses cast the 2 tables out of his hand, and the covenant was broken. Okay, that's what it represented, it was broken. It was no longer a force. Okay, so Moses also showing that only Christ can remove the power of the law by a new law, okay, where faith, hope, and charity rule. Okay, the passion, so the heart is free from Satan's aspirations and oppressions. Okay, so we see here, when that was broken, that the love of Jesus might be sealed in your hearts, okay, unto the hope of his faith. So you got faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Well, I'm going to stop right there, because it's now 8:30. Let's get ready to offer some sacrifices here.